Hello, this is Pastor Bob DeWay from Twin City Fellowship. I'm also the author of Critical Issues Commentary. Today's show is the second segment of a guest appearance that I made on Jan Markell's Understanding the Times radio show. Jan's ministry is called Olive Tree Ministries, and you can find her at olivetreeviews.org, and she has a radio show on One Place, also called Understanding the Times. Let's listen to this second segment.
It's time for Jan Markell's Understanding the Times, the radio program helping you contend for the faith and consider current events from a biblical perspective. And now here's Jan Markell.
Welcome to part two of this hour. We are talking about the truth war. We'll get back to that in just 1 second or so. Invite you, please, to visit the website of Olive Tree Ministries. There we have 3 years of radio programming archived, and a reminder, too, that all programming done, usually most programming is heard on the weekend, but it is put on our website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, late Monday. Now, John MacArthur, on the back of his book, The Truth War, which kind of is the starting point for this discussion on contending for the faith, and that's the truth war, fighting for certainty in an age of deception. Albert Mohler says on the back of the book, the postmodern age is the age of no truth, an age that has reached a point of deadly fatigue when it comes to facing the truth, a generation that no longer believes truth can be known. Dr. John MacArthur knows better, and he is armed with the courage to confront this age with a bold defense of the truth. His argument is compelling, his defense of the truth is brilliant, and his concern for the church is evident on every page. The evangelical church desperately needs this book, and it arrives just in time. That's Albert Mohler, president, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. So, Pastor Bob DeWay, moving on in our discussion, I would have to say that not all of younger people are going down the postmodern path. There are some hungry for the truth, and I hear from people of all ages who have a love for the truth. But this whole issue of postmodernism, and we need to give a quick definition of that because a lot of people still kind of blank out when we use that term, postmodernism. Now, basically says that we cannot know truth, and some will take it as far as saying we can't even know if the truth is in the Bible.
That's absolutely true. And postmodernism is a reaction against the age of enlightenment and rationalism that believed that through using our rational minds, we could have certainty about all things. Well, that did not produce what they claimed it was going to. And I agree with Francis Schaeffer, who said the problem was rationalism, not rationality. Okay, because they didn't believe that the Bible had God's word, so they were going to use man, autonomous, self-ruling, to find truth, and that failed, at least as far as finding ultimate truth. So postmodernity is a reaction against that that throws up its hands and says learning truth is not even a worthy goal. It's a fool's mission. All we have is relativity. All we have is our own communities, our own feelings, our own experiences, and truth is relative to the person who experiences it. Now, if you believe the Bible, you realize that that's fatal to biblical Christianity, because the Bible claims to reveal the truth of God. The Bible claims this: God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions, in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. Okay. Now, as Schaeffer claimed back in the 60s, if there is a God, which we know there is, and he's spoken, God who is truth speaks the truth, and in words that humans can understand, then we can know the truth. But this whole postmodern idea is that that's out the window. We can't do that, throw up our hands in despair, although they claim they have hope. Let's just get in our little communities and have a love fest, and everybody can tell their opinion, and we'll forget about trying to find out what's true.
Well, one of the things you said on the CD I listened to, which is a CD on Contending for the Faith, which is a part of one of your conferences you had a few months ago. And by the way, that CD is available free by calling 952-935-3100. Somebody may be there to take your name and address. If not, just leave it on the voicemail. But one of the things that I picked up, and that is about these wolves in sheep's clothing. The wolves are responsible in large part for the drift into deception today. And you emphasized, even going back to your childhood, that these wolves can be very nice people.
Yeah.
They can be very nice sounding people. They can be anything but contentious people.
Well, actually, they're very, very nice. And some of the wolves that I've known in my life are kindly, elderly gentlemen that wouldn't harm a fly. They're very, very nice. I've had pastors when I was a young man who didn't believe the Bible were very nice. Beware, beware. The wolves are in sheep's clothing. And that's one of the major flaws in most people's idea about discernment. They try to discern based on who's nicer. The nicer somebody is, the more we think they must be from God. But that's not the criteria the Bible gives. And a lot of people that are totally deluded, very sincere, are leading people straight to hell, but they're doing it in a very kind and nice way.
Well, the Bible says that wolves crept in. What does that mean?
Well, that means that they don't show up at the door in a wolf suit.
Okay. That would not go over, or maybe it would.
That
might be a secret gimmick.
I don't know.
All right. False doctrine. We talked about this a minute ago. I'm going to go back and revisit it again because false doctrine is lucrative. Telling people what they want to hear is lucrative. Having a smile on your face at all times, it pays off. As the number one largest church in America, I believe, has a pastor who never stops smiling, and I guess it works. I mean, not only that, he's fairly young and good looking too, and all of, and he's got such a positive message, just so positive. So coming up with these new beliefs, we're going back to how lucrative it can be. I mean, you just look at some of the emerging churches, and just about every denominational gathering is featuring some emergent leader, or at least featuring some teacher who is not sound theologically.
That's absolutely true. And that's who's selling all the books, Jan.
Yeah.
Okay. You know who's selling the books? I was just at a conference with some of the top Christian thinkers in a certain realm of understanding the pagan world. And even some of these people that are well known and have been published, have a hard time finding a publisher today, and you know about that.
I know about it.
As do I. So the people that are publishing books that are sound, that are teaching the truth of the gospel, have to be self-published or scrounge around to find a way to be published, whereas people teaching air are selling millions and millions of copies, and the large Christian publishing houses aren't going to waste time with somebody who's targeting the remnant with their book. They want to get the mass market. And dear saints, the fact that a book sells 1 million, 10 million, 20 million doesn't mean it contains the truth. You have to use discernment.
Yes, well, I think some of the books that contains absolutely the most truth, you're absolutely right. They've struggled to find a publisher. They have been self-published from Ray Youngen to all sorts of people, Warren Smith, who'll be on with me next week, Roger Oakland, yourself. They're not able to find these top-notch publishers who are going to give them tremendous marketing, distribution, and advertising. They got to do it themselves.
Absolutely. You got to do it yourself, but it's worth the effort. MacArthur still has major publication, and
right.
I agree with Jan. That book, The Truth War, is a fine, wonderful book, and I recommend that every Christian read that book. It is well worth reading. It's so well written. It'll apprise you of the fact that this war has gone on throughout church history. This isn't the first generation to have a truth war. He had a whole thing about the Arian controversy. I thought it was very fascinating. It was very well done. And he points us to the book of Jude and to the fact that It's not wrong. I think, in fact, that's important. Something that's happened, and I think we probably talk about this second hour, is that because we live in a society in which the tolerance is considered the most important of all possible virtues, people are browbeat into thinking that if you actually engage in the battle for the truth, like the Bible says, contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered, that you are sinning by doing that. And it's astounding that pastors who own Bibles, who claim to believe it, tell their own flock that it's a sin to contend for the faith.
Okay, MacArthur says again in The Truth War, faithfulness to Christ demands it, that being truth. The honor of God requires it. We cannot sit by and do nothing while worldly revisionist and skeptical attitudes about the truth are infiltrating the church. We must not embrace such confusion in the name of charity, collegiality, or unity. We have to stand and fight for the truth and be prepared to die for it, as faithful Christians always have. There's a key word in that sentence that I just read, and that is the word unity, because today unity is the buzzword that matters to most church leaders.
Right, but not the unity of the faith, because you can't get that unless you contend for the faith, but the unity of their little plan or marketing program or whatever it might be. In the CD that we're talking about, I listened to it myself because it was a few months ago, and I've done a lot of speaking since then. I want to make sure I remember what I said. And on that CD, I was pointing out that I'm not advocating that people be angry or contentious over non-essentials. I'm not advocating that at all. I think that it's silly when Christians divide the church because they don't like the color of the carpet that they bought or the style of pews that they put in or something like that that's not an absolute. And so we're not advocating that. If you are in a church where the truth of Jesus Christ is proclaimed boldly and clearly from the pulpit, where the people are taught the Word of God without compromise, and where the leaders, the elders, love the flock, feed the flock, care for the flock, then I would advise you that you are blessed and don't worry about what the deacons decided to do about the kind of silverware you have in the kitchen.
All right.
Okay. You are blessed.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you're in a church that refuses to preach the gospel, refuses to teach the truth, the pulpit is filled by little platitudes from psychobabble or something like that, well, then you've got an issue. That's worth contending for. I would go to any elders or pastors who are doing that. Anybody can do this, okay? Leadership is not sacrosanct. I can't say that. They're not above criticism there. If you don't know a word, pick one you do. And you
yes,
can go to those leaders and say, dear pastor, dear elders, we, the Lord's flock, are so hungry for the truth of God's word. We want to hear you teach right from the Bible and explain to us what it means. We want to hear about Jesus, who he is, what he did, why we need him. We want the blood atonement. And just go do that. And that's worth contending for.
The voice you're hearing is that of Pastor Bob DeWay of Twin City Fellowship in the suburban area of the Minneapolis-St. Louis Park. You're listening to Understanding the Times. Jan Markell, your host. Best way to get of Pastor Bob DeWay, to get to him, rather, is TwinCityFellowship.com. If you want that free CD we're talking about, 952-935-3100. And you can contact me through my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. And we update current headlines twice a day there. I have 3 years of radio programming archived there and many, many articles on various topics. Now, Pastor Bob DeWay, I think that we are likely going to be accountable someday for not contending for the faith. If we know the truth, how can we not follow through with it and contend? But I am asking, if we choose not to contend, is it possible we could be really seriously accountable?
Yes, because it would be rebellion against what God commanded us to do in the Scripture. I'm going to read it again. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt necessary to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith. And Pastor MacArthur pointed out that that term contend denotes a battle. So God's called us to a battle. We got to rise to the occasion. We can't just say, well, you know, that's not for me. I think I won't do that. We don't have that option. Let's just think of it this way. What if you were a father and you have a wife and kids and your household comes under attack by somebody who wanted to harm them? What would you think of yourself as if you just ran away and let the people harm your family? You'd be considered a coward, would you not? Or a failure? Now, by analogy, isn't the flock of Jesus Christ as important as your own family? Isn't the family of God important enough that their spiritual well-being is worth somebody standing up and contending for and looking out for and fighting for? And I say, yes, we need to fight for the well-being of the flock. And this is required. It says here in Titus 1, part of verse 7 and in verse 9, here's what it says about the elders or overseers. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. And Paul told the elders in Ephesus in Acts 20 to guard the flock, guard them. So who is the hireling but the one that runs away? We can't run. Read that MacArthur's book, The Truth War. We can't run. When a country is under attack, they go to war to protect their national sovereignty. When anyone is under attack, they need to rise to occasion to protect the people that's important to them. Dear beloved saints, the Church of Jesus Christ is under attack, and the attack is coming from within. They've crept in unawares, and they're wearing the sheep's clothing, and the issue is the doctrine of the faith and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not wrong for us to stand up and require that somebody do something about this.
I think it's important, though, Pastor Bob DeWay, that everybody who is hearing this, who really wants to contend, that they speak the truth in love. I think that there are some who maybe do just the opposite. And I can understand they're frustrated. They've tried to make changes. And after a while, they feel incapable of speaking the truth in love. But it is so important to do that.
I totally agree. And that's part of Paul's instruction to Timothy, because Timothy had to deal with some elders who went astray. Okay. And Paul told Timothy this: with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. So, and James says the wrath of man doesn't bring about the righteousness of God. So I know it's hard when you're in the middle of it, but the more we can just be firm about what's true in a loving way, because it's very loving to lead somebody to the knowledge of the truth, because it will set them free. We care about their spiritual well-being. I don't want to harm anybody. God didn't call me into the ministry to harm a single soul. Mm-hmm. But I believe that I need to protect them against harm and try to do so in the most loving way I possibly can.
Well, a number of people who try to contend with pastors, church leaders, or others, I mean, they can be shunned by friends and family. We'll hear more about that next hour. And, you know, I mean, it's not very encouraging when you hear stories like that to want to risk and stand up for the truth when you know you can be met with being ostracized, all sorts of... you and I have both heard the worst of stories.
I know.
We hear them almost on a daily basis. And I think that the bottom line, if I could present a bottom line as this hour winds down, is if we do nothing, we are helping the enemy. If we stay silent, we are letting some spiritual destruction continue. But when many do speak up, again, we'll get into this more second hour, they can be called divisive, they can be called troublemakers, judgmental, on and on I could go, and therefore they're very hesitant to speak up and contend for the faith. But we'll get more into that in the next hour. And stations who need to be dropping off now, remember, all our programming goes up on our website late Monday if you want to catch hour two. And if you want to just order an individual CD of a program or two in case if you happen to hear hour one and hour two and want them both, you can do that without becoming a CD subscriber. So just call my office for that information, and that is 763-493-3010, 763-493-3010. We're going to continue with this with Pastor Bob DeWay, Twin City Fellowship Church, St. Louis Park, suburb of Minneapolis, 28th and Rhode Island. And I believe your Sunday services start at 10:30. Is that right, Bob?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and you contend for the faith at Twin City Fellowship, right?
We do, and we preach the gospel every Sunday and preach through the Word of God because we want to equip the saints so that they can stand.
All right, I think we are coming up on a break. Just enough time for me to tell you that if you'd please mark on your calendars before you set it as the day to drive off and look at colored leaves, that we are having Understanding the Times 08 coming up September 26th, 27th, and that will be featuring Dr. Dave Reagan, Bill Koenig, White House correspondent, Noni Darwish, former Muslim, now Christian, and Mike Gendron.